So, Les and Joyce Pilgrim want to talk a little bit more about the Tucker interview. I know you
Oh,
addressed
sure.
this on
Yeah.
Friday in the live stream, but let's look big picture here. What are the most important points made in the Tucker Putin interview that need to be stressed?
I'm going off a bit of the top of my head here, but these are the things that impressed me. I mean, I read a little bit, a couple of the articles. I mean, there were like five takeaways and so forth. That would help if I had the notes in front of me. But first and foremost, that first 30 minutes of when he gave Tucker that 1,200-year history lesson, that fits perfectly with Putin's now 12-year emphasis on building Russia as a civilization state. So the historical backdrop to what's happening today, stretching back over the last 1,000 years, will give you a sense of the kind of mentality that's operating now in Russia, in China, in their own 2,500-year context, in India, in their own 3,000-year context, in Turkey, in their 1,200-year context. In Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in the Sahel region of Africa, that's booting out the last vestiges of French colonialism. That'll give you a real sense that the ancient, remember, the thesis of part of the thesis of a new conservative age is rising, but specifically the thesis of the civilization state and civilizational populism in general is that the old ancient civilizations are rising again. Now they're rising in a modern form, but every culture has the seeds of its own renewal. That's Pyotr Sorokin, the Russian American sociologist who founded the sociology department at Harvard. He argued that every dilapidating secular sensate age ends up functioning much like compost. The rot, societal rot, functions like compost to reawaken it. The religious sacred seeds that gave birth to the civilization in the first place, and those seeds rise up again. And that's what we're seeing throughout the world. So his history lesson that he gave to Tucker, I think, was fully concomitant with this new consciousness, for lack of a better term, not to sound too new agey, but this new collective consciousness rooted in the reawakening of the ancient religious civilizations of the world, because ancient civilization was were all basically, the civilizations of the gods, as it were, all over the world. It just doesn't matter which one you look at, the Egyptian, Babylonian, Greek, Roman, Chinese, Indian, the Tsarist Russian. I mean, they're all empires of heaven. They're on earth. And those sacred seeds are rising up again. So that's basic. It's happening here as well. It's going to be harder here because globalism has taken such strong root in our nation. So we'll probably be the last one. But boy, with Trump in place, who's embodying a lot of these transitional dynamics, he should be able to hasten and quicken that transition even here as well. But it may happen in Europe just this year with the European Parliament elections, that where the European Parliament may actually go civilizational populist for the first time in terms of its majority. So that's the first thing, as I think we saw the evidence of the civilization state. The second thing is he confirmed absolutely that it was NATO expansion that was the reason for his invasion of Ukraine, that he had warned the powers that be at NATO back at the Munich conference. And again, I always forget it. I think it's 2006 and maybe 2007 and maybe 2000. I forget. It's right around that range in the late 2000s. That was a NATO conference, like he talked about with talking to Clinton when he was an underling to Yeltsin back in, I think it was 98. Say, hey, if we want to join NATO, could we? And Clinton originally said, yeah, no problem. But then later on that night at dinner, he said, yeah, I talked to my people. They said, no way, it's not going to happen.
But first, gang, our good friend Mike Lindell needs your help. Mike is one of the strongest patriots working tirelessly for the America First and MAGA movements in this country, and also happens to be a very close friend to this channel, as you know. From election integrity to protecting American businesses, Mike really does it all. And now, as a cabal of deep state lawyers and election machine companies are trying to take Mike down with frivolous lawsuits, he needs your support more than ever. Mike recently said he was going to fight every lawsuit until he wins and will never settle out of court with people who help rig the election. So with this in mind, I want to remind you about the incredible MyPillow deals Mike is offering with my promo code TURLEY. Now, if you just click on the link in my description below, you can save well over 60% on all sorts of incredible MyPillow products. Of course, Mike is offering huge savings on the new and improved MyPillow 2.0. But gang, I would also recommend hugely Mike's My Slippers, as well as his amazingly comfortable bed sheets. These are some of the comfiest slippers and sheets I've ever owned. In fact, I would use that word to describe all of MyPillow's products: comfy. Comfy to the maximum. So don't wait, gang. Support Mike as he fights for election integrity and get some extremely comfy things to boot. It's a win-win. Don't wait. Click on that link below or go to mypillow.com/Turley right now.
Putin was invited every NATO security meeting up to about like 2007, 2008, after he drew a line, said, you guys pass this line and you try to bring Ukraine into NATO, we're done. At least as far as he was concerned, Eastern Ukraine, east of the Dnieper River, the Russian speaking side of Ukraine, that's, you're done. You have officially reversed the Cuban Missile Crisis. You're now doing what Khrushchev tried to do with Cuba. You're now doing with Ukraine. You go there, we will act. And we did. We did. Within a year, we offered Ukraine membership because we were kings of the world. And again, he pointed that out. We were a unipolar world where the United States was the sole superpower and wrote the rules for the rest of the world. That's what a rules-based order is all about. The liberal international order is all about. And Putin recognized around that 2008 period that the only way Russia's national security can be protected ultimately is if Russia rose up as a civilizational state big enough to take on globalism and interrupt the unipolar world with what's called a multipolar world, where Russia and China and India and Turkey and Iran and Saudi Arabia all begin to ally with each other in order to push back against secular liberal globalism. So he affirmed that this war is ultimately about that. That's what this is about. It's not about democracy. Ha, 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 ha. It's a joke. That is, and I think everyone sees it. It's not about it. I said this the other day. Ask Gonzalo Lira what he thinks about our war on behalf of democracy. He's now dead. He was arrested for, he's a YouTuber, if you don't know. He's a YouTuber who was very critical of Ukraine. He got arrested for no reason other than making YouTube videos for being critical of Ukraine. He was beaten and killed in prison, in a Ukrainian prison. This isn't democracy. This is insane. Zelensky suspended all elections. There are no elections coming in Ukraine. So it's absolutely absurd. So I think that was the second big takeaway, that what we have argued consistently for nearly 2 years, that this is ultimately a battle over whether we will have a unipolar world or a multipolar world. That's what we argued from day one. Is about the maintenance of the liberal international order. That's well, and making everybody with their hands in the coffers of the military industrial complex very, very rich. I mean, it's always with money, but the liberal international order maintains that lucrative affluence. He affirmed that. He affirmed that the United States destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline. That was a big affirmation. Oh, there were a couple of other things that they got into that I found interesting. I mean, he affirmed the role of religion and the importance of religion in the Russo-Ortho sphere. Again, he wasn't even talking about Russia. He was talking about the Eurasian sphere, including Ukraine, well, Eastern Ukraine and Georgia and the like, and Armenia. That that and Belarus, and that is not to be interrupted by a secular liberal insanity. We will defend that orthosphere against your universalist liberalism. Those were some of the major takeaways for me in terms of the things he was talking about. Also, just the AI, that I found the AI question very interesting. Where again, he affirmed that the most important thing is we maintain the dignity of our humanity in the midst of it. We want to be number one in AI. He was very open about that. He's been that. We have many ways a sort of global culture war on AI. Both Russia and China want to be at the forefront because Putin has said he who controls AI ultimately controls the world. So he wants to control AI, but he does not want AI to interfere with the essence of what it means to be human. So AI, that means AI must always be a servant, never a master. So it was, again, this is happening at the exact same time. And that would probably be the final takeaway. It's happening at the exact same time that our incontinent in chief tried to give a press conference, and it couldn't even give a 10-minute one without it just being a disaster, as opposed to this 2-hour like university lecture that we were given by Putin. It was an extraordinary contrast.
I hope you enjoyed that clip of my Monday night Insiders Club live stream. Join us live next week by clicking on the link in the description below and joining the coalition of patriots worldwide, building a parallel economy to return to our roots of faith, family, and freedom. Click below right now.